At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
If you work with community, collaborate, it's going to be there. Like you said, kind of, I think you mentioned kind of like the money is always, if you're doing something that you know brings fulfillment and helps other people, like the money will come or it won't. And does that matter? You know, You definitely want to make it sustainable and build wealth and do those kind of things. Be business minded and stuff. But I just more and more I see money as a tool to do the things that are valued in life. And it's made a big difference for me. Of just, you can be more risky when it's like that. You cannot think as much about that money, and you can tell stories better. Instead of having to tell the story of the money, you tell the story that once that people want to bring money to. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud.
I'm from the loot and I'm proud. Run a mile for the cause. I'm right. Hi guys, it's your girl Muhammad, your favorite Jew from the loo. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so excited to have Will Swafford. Did I say your name right?
Yeah, Swafford.
Swafford.
Yeah, Swafford.
I do this every time. I'm like, I always panic. I'm like, I don't know people's last name. It's okay. Hi, Will.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is so funny to think that, like, my podcast is the whole reason why we even connected in the first place, because it was actually Sam Schaefer who connected us. And then, he was the first guest that I ever reached out to who wasn't part of my circle.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I had a guest on who referred him, and I just DM'd him. I was like, you look like you have a great story. I'd love to have you on my podcast.
Well, that's pretty cool. I didn't know. I didn't know the backstory behind that. And then
it all started from there.
Since then, you've had like a few people from the gym on the podcast now. Mm-hmm. So
I'm working my way around.
Yeah, I know. And you've already got some more lined up since last night.
Yeah.
Jenna and all them. So
no, I know. That's the thing. I think I'm kind of at the point where technically it could be full time eventually.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would look like. Some like Joe Rogan kind of stuff.
Or kind
like,
of.
Yeah.
Right now it's once a week.
Yeah. Just do it every day. You know?
What I would love to do is, because I'm so curious, to unpack this whole place, wellness center that you created, how it all got started.
So that's where we want to, like, how it got started?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think to tell how this place where we're at here got started, perhaps to start a little bit before that, I guess I had moved back to St. Louis. I was living in Knoxville, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
For a while after I got out of the military. And I got into CrossFit probably a little bit before I left Knoxville, and was looking for a gym here. So then I found a gym, CrossFit Ready to Live, and became like my home, my community. And I was like, I like these people. I like who I'm around. It was just my place to go. And then me and Peter, who's my business partner, kind of whenever it became up for sale, owners were selling it and wanted to move on to something else. We were both kind of came together and were like, we kind of want to keep the community together the way it is. It's like our safe space, as it will. So that's kind of how started of me and Pete owned the gym then. And that time it was over on the hill over on Southwest Avenue. And then not 3 months after we bought it, the city mentioned that they were taking the building for a bridge, and we had to find a space to
So it was like eminent domain.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So that was like not soon after, and me and Pete remember just like driving around in his Jeep, literally like looking at for lease signs and rental signs for That's sale how you signs. Did it? Yeah, and we were finding them all, and we looked at this space at one point, and we thought it was just for lease, and then we called again, and like, oh yeah, it's for sale, and we're like, okay, so then took a big leap and bought the space for our gym. And then we really had no clue what we were doing without it. So this is a 24,000 square foot place. We were going to use our gym for about 7,000 of it, maybe.
Right.
And then we really had no clue what we're doing for the rest of it.
It's a big space.
Yeah. And so we were kind of a little bit overwhelmed, had to figure that out a little bit. Ended up partnering with Kramer and Ready Fit. So they're a personal training and 24-hour access gym for the other side. So they took up a big side of the space. Kudos to CC, our real estate agent, for like making that connection for us. And then it was kind of from there, we had planned on just like, hey, whatever we can fit in here for rent just to make it work so we're not like losing money on the space anymore, we'll take. But then kind of became where we brought in, it kind of attract just the fact that there was two gyms here and our kind of vibe for it attracted some other people in that space. So we had like Rehab Loft with Lauren, who's a chiropractor. And at the time, we had another physical therapist that was in the back. And then we just started piecing that out a little bit. And then like, as we started talking and collabing with other people, similar to like how we've kind of met with others through others, Josh from Breath and Exposure came in and just like, you want to collab? Like, yeah, you can use whatever space you want. Like, and then added massage therapists, added more physical therapists, you know, just now added, you know, a move, which is a physician. She's going to be doing, you know, IV therapy, peptides, VO2max testing, which I just did, which was crazy cool. Found out all kinds of stuff about your heart and things like, and how well you're doing. It just kind of became this, we were very collaborative, I think is how it started. And we were just, hey, whatever we can get to bring in, we just have kept rolling on that. Everybody has that same community aspect of like, hey, come here and you, let's get you right. Let's do this. But it's, everybody's just so welcoming, so awesome, you know, and it's, we just keep growing. We have like CPR classes now, like we have one Ready to Live Academy. We have a nonprofit arm. We are just doing events like tomorrow. We have a powerlifting competition here.
Oh, cool.
Earlier today, we had the Green Beret Youth Initiative doing their class here. You know, we have Fit Fest coming up. We have, we're just kind of doing things in the community, just like we've always kind of wanted to, but it's nice because it's like there's a business side of it, and it's like we kind of have that backing of like, yeah, we have all these people here that can help you. Or, you know, you come and somebody from the CrossFit gym's like, hey, my shoulder's going up, go up and see Lauren. Like, don't wait, like go see her right now.
Yeah, a one-stop shop for all your wellness
exactly
needs.
And it's grown of what it's become. At first it was like, oh, it's nice to have a physical therapist and a chiropractor here because it just makes sense. And now it's keeps growing into this one-stop shop wellness center. We've toyed around with other terms like wellness hub, well, everything. And we just like hanging out here too. Like, yeah. I find myself, especially when I'm back in town, like I do travel a lot and do all of other things with work and my girlfriend being in Canada. It's a little bit different, but yeah, whenever I'm back, I just spend all my time here and I don't really get bored. I get to talk with many different people doing anything. I can go get a workout in, I can go get a recovery in, I can go get a massage, I can work, I can get workspaces. You know, it's like you don't have to leave really, except for food. We're trying to work on that, you know, we're doing work and coffee.
Which you were working on too, right?
Yeah. Got a kitchen down there, and then with coffee too, you know, we might be working on that a little bit, you know. So yeah, it came together of something we didn't know what it was. It wasn't like we set out in a vision and a dream and said this is exactly how it's going to be. It's just evolved since then, and you know, every week it's different. You know, I think that's the fun of it and the beauty of it, is just yeah, like it can become whatever the people need, if you were the community needs. Like, you know, if there's a need for the community, then they show that and we see that and we're like, all right, let's get that, let's bring that in to the community needs that.
And some of these opportunities, it sounds like you weren't even looking for them.
No.
It's more of like the people came to you. And you're like, oh, that totally makes sense. We have the space for you. Yeah. You fit the vision. Let's make it happen.
100%. Yeah, it's really cool you mentioned that, because like Josh, for instance, like Josh just, we didn't call him. He didn't really do anything. He just heard of it and came and saw it. And he's like, this is a cool vibe. And I was like, you're cool. Let's do
yeah.
it. Same with Sam. Like Sam, kind of we met through different groups. Like a few was kind of met through like the dope gym. And like it's like a gym, kind of just like a hangout spot you can kind of be at. And it's meet people through that. And then move Priyanka, we kind of met through a coach from Breath and Exposure, and then they got us together. Similar with the new massage therapist in here, Jasmine. You know, Cyrus came out of nowhere. He's a massage therapist, you know, works with you know, sports athletes and things like that. And then yeah, Jenna with the Pilates, just kind of heard we had some space available and was like, will it work? Like, oh yeah, we'll make it work. Yeah, what do you need? You know,
of all the things, the Pilates part is so cool.
It's like it's the most different thing that we have here, I guess. I wouldn't say different. It's something different. We didn't expect, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I think that's what happened. There's this overall theme that my guests and I have been talking about, like, I probably the past five guests that I've had on, which is following your curiosity.
Yes.
And when you do that, like, you're never going to have it all figured out, right? And like, it's so much better when you're just like, let me take on what I can take on. And then the rest kind of flows. And that's when you know you're on the right path, right?
Agreed. Yeah. It was, if you would have asked us when me and Pete first started, like, you think you'll ever have Pilates here? No.
Because you're CrossFit guys.
Ridiculous. Yeah. And but as we've grown more in like dealing with other groups, understanding what they do. And also it's like, yeah, that is good for my health. That's good for my fitness. I should try this. And like, we're discovering a lot as well. And then now I'd tell you, like, there's not a better fit for the spaces of having somebody doing Pilates in a different aspect and understanding that, especially with fitness, there's a lot of, especially in the CrossFit world and like in the other worlds, like you might hear like the CrossFit Hyrox debacle of everybody competing against each other. And it's like, I say like the good, like somebody wants to go, awesome. Like you're moving, like doing Pilates, awesome. Moving, you're walking, great. Like movement is, you know, movement is freedom. Like it's amazing. Movement is health. Like stay moving, stay doing things. And it's awesome.
I think for me, I just have ADD, right? So for me, I get bored doing the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have a one-stop shop of so many different options.
Yeah.
You also have the community aspect too, because you do the rucks every so often.
Yeah. Yeah. The ruck and coffee was awesome. That
was brilliant.
That was awesome that you came to that first one, just saw that. And then you
know that almost didn't happen?
Really?
Yeah.
You almost didn't come?
Yeah. Because what happened was that Sunday. Yeah. Was supposed to be the first farmer's market for my coffee brand, Le Cafe.
Okay.
And I may have procrastinated a little bit.
That happens.
And I did not get my, what was it, the health certificate that you needed?
Yes. Okay.
I'm blanking on the proper name. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like the government needs to approve that I can do what I'm doing since I'm working with food, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it took a little longer. So that's why I wasn't able to be at the first farmer's market.
Yeah.
So that's why I was able to come to the Rock Bowl. It was so great. It's
meant to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how it started out. I just had some friends that were in town that, you know, some from Navy friends that actually didn't end up coming to it, actually, which is funny. And I was like, hey, you guys want to get like a ruck in? They're like, oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. And then some of their friends are like, oh, yeah, we'd do it. And then the more I talked about it, I was like, I'm just going to put it on event. Like I put it on Meetup on there. And then I opened it up to our gym and like posted about it. And like there's like 20 people the first day or the first time we did it. And then we just did it this last Sunday. And there was like 20 to 25 this time. And
people crave community and movement.
Yeah.
So and you can bring both together. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for sponsoring the last one. That was awesome. Everybody loved the cold brew.
I'm so glad.
It was a big hit. A big hit.
Yeah, I felt like after a ruck, you want like a cold coffee.
Yeah,
versus a hot. I would agree.
Especially that day.
Unless it's rainy, but
especially that day, it was pretty hot, and everybody liked it. But it was actually interesting, like just getting out in the community. The first ruck and coffee, I actually went a little bit farther than my route I wanted to go, and we went down a street that had like. A pie shop and some other things. Everybody just loved getting out in the community and they're like, I want to keep doing this. And it's like you're getting that community together, you're just talking. Like it was awesome. Everybody stuck around for at least, you know, 30-40 minutes afterwards. Yeah. You just hung out and it, like I said, becomes that community thing. And you're also getting healthy. Like rucking with some weight on it does a lot of things for your health and fitness and posture and everything. So it's like just finding those areas where you can push yourself physically, as well as, you know, having that community aspect, so it's not as bad. And you don't even realize what you're doing.
You really created something very special here. And I felt it the first time that I came to your gym.
That's awesome.
I came because of Josh.
Yeah.
So Sam, after he came on, was like, I know this guy. You would love to have him on. Yeah. And I messaged Josh. And Josh was like, for sure. Yeah. You need to do a cold plunge first, though.
Yeah, well, most definitely.
Because he had been on podcasts where they hadn't. Yeah. Had that experience first.
Hard to talk about.
Like,
a little bit.
I will not come on until you do it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is since I'm Jewish, I don't do anything on Saturdays.
Yep.
And most of his events were on Saturday, right? And so Cody came on and started doing them on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
But then the farmer's market started and I wasn't able to do it on Sundays either.
Yeah.
So Cody said, I reached out to him because he had a little bit more of a flexible schedule.
Yeah.
He's like, as long as you get, I think like 5 to 7 people.
Yeah. He'll do a private session.
So we did a private session. It was awesome.
It's awesome.
And I got my friends to do it. It was so funny because they didn't think they were going to, and they ended up doing it, and they had such a great time.
Yeah, it's...
But it was here, and that was the first time I was ever at your gym.
Yeah.
And...
I don't think I was here that day.
You weren't here that day. Pete was here, and that's how we got connected.
Yeah.
But when I walked into the gym, I was like, I've been going to the gym. I've been in a few different gyms, and I've never walked into one where everyone was so friendly. Like, you made eye contact, and there was, like, actually a follow-up of, like, hi.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, do you need help or something? Like, even just yesterday when I came into the gym looking for you.
Yeah.
There was, like, some guy were, like, foam rolling, and he saw me. We made eye contact. He's like, oh, do you need help? And I was like, yeah, actually.
I think it was Juan. I think one of our coaches. So nice. So it was really cool. But, I love hearing that. And it's like, it just honestly brings me most joy to hear that. Because that is our goal. Is like, our goal for the gym is, like, we don't care where you came from, who you are, what you're doing. When you come through that door, like, you're welcome. You're with family now. Like, we're going to push you, but like, it doesn't matter.
That's great.
And like, and we've heard that a lot, and we keep trying to be as humble as we can with that, of just like finding how we do that. We actually, it's kind of funny. We don't really know how, like, try to connect with people, and like, you smile and you do things, but like making it like our home. We treat it like our home, like how we want to be. We want to have a community. And but it's so awesome to hear that whenever people say it is welcoming.
I'm like, I get super shy at the gym. Like, I've been a gym goer for years, but I don't really talk to people at the gym. I've got my headphones in. I'm in my own zone.
Yeah.
So it's like, I would always be down to talk to people,
mm-hmm.
but unless you talk to me,
you don't want
to. It's probably not going to happen. And I'm also usually so like in the zone, in there with the plan. I have like a million things I need to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
in and out, some people,
but like, I would love to be in a gym. That's why, like, I wanted to try it out when I come back from Africa, because I'm like, I like the vibe here. I want to see what it's like.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put a little pause in my other gym membership and see what happens.
Definitely should. It'll be fun. Yeah. It's, you just get such a here. There's so many different things going on here. Different aspects of fitness. You just get to also see all kinds of different groups of people here. Like, we have people every walk of life here that are doing different things, and you actually get to. Like, motivates you a little bit, like, oh man, that's awesome that they're doing that, or like hearing that you're going to Africa to do a climb, like, it's like, man, I want to do that. Like, and Cody just did one as well, and like, it's just kind of and getting to really just connect those people that want to do that kind of stuff. I love it.
It's gonna be great.
It's my favorite thing. It's cool.
So there's so much about you that I think is so intriguing, but like, obviously one of my favorite parts is that you're a coffee nerd as well.
Yes. No, I'll take that title.
That's you coffee will. Nerd, So my question for you, I already know the answer, but I want you to like say it again about your whole story on like how you got into coffee. But my first question is, how old were you when you first started drinking coffee?
So I first started, I guess, like regular drinking, like actually liking it, or?
Great question. Both, because you're right.
So I'll tell you this. The first time I remember drinking coffee was with my mom and my stepdad. We're at a Harley Davidson dealership. My stepdad loved Harleys, rode Harleys. My mom rode Harleys for a long time. They had coffee there. And me and my brother were running around, and like, I tried it, hated it, put a bunch of sugar in it, drank it. And then I was off the walls, just like everywhere going, I think. But so that was my first ever remembrance of drinking coffee. And then that was probably like 7 or 8 years old. And then I didn't really drink coffee again until I was 19 years old. That's when I went with my school. I was in college at the time at Southwest Baptist University. And they require you to go on a mission trip, basically. At least one mission trip before you can graduate. And I was playing sports at the time. Didn't really know what I was wanting to do for summers, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to go first summer, get it out of the way, and you know, so I don't have to do it. I can focus on sports and things like that. So I went to Peru and went there for a small trip, ended up meeting a translator there that was awesome, stayed a little bit longer than I should have, you know, went on some coffee farms.
How long was the mission supposed to be for? It's
supposed to be like 2 weeks.
Oh, it's only 2 weeks? That's not long.
Yeah, not a long mission trip.
It's not bad at all.
So then just ended up like talking with them and like staying for longer and getting to go.
Did you get to choose like where you wanted to do your mission at?
So you did. There was a few options of ones. Actually, one of my very good friends, Josh Mitchell, who he's actually into coffee now. He actually started his own coffee brand.
That's awesome.
Doing roasting.
Was he one of the people you helped start up?
No, not yet. I mean, we've gone back and forth and asked questions a lot. He's actually about to start up his own brick and mortar, which nice, nice little plug
Hey,
there for him.
that's
But
awesome. Here locally in St. Louis?
no, he's actually in, I think he's in Texas now. He was in
Cool.
Oklahoma, Texas, down that way. So
Okay.
yeah, so he's
What's the name of his brands?
Gregorian Roasters.
Gregorian
It's
Roasters?
I honestly forgot why he did the name. There's probably some. So he was a
Okay.
he's like a I think a he'll probably hate me for this, but I don't know. It's like a theology major. Like we went to a Baptist school, so he's a youth pastor down there,
Okay.
and doing that kind of stuff. So he's very into like, yeah. There's a name behind the name. There's some reason why he's doing it,
There's
probably.
always meaning, for
Yeah.
sure. Yeah. That's good branding,
It
anyways.
is, yeah. But yeah, there's still we got to be on farms where they were, like harvesting crops, harvesting thing, and like one of the things we're harvesting was coffee. You know, like you see them. Like have them out drying, like actually drying the coffee, like the actual green coffee beans and the red cherries and all this kind of different stuff. And it was just like, I love that. And I got to like help with that, see that, get coffee, tasted actually good coffee. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't what I thought coffee tasted like. This is like
Yeah, that's a
amazing.
wild experience.
Biggest thing down there was I got to see like where coffee comes from, like and who the people are that, you know, provide coffee, like harvest that coffee. Because all Most of the time, we just see it in black in the cup. Like, that's all we really see, the end goal of it, or the coffee beans that are roasted. So, that's kind of where my interest in it started. If I get to do all this.
It's the whole they say that a really strong marketing line with coffee is when you say from farm to cup.
Yeah, truly, though,
Yeah.
I got to truly see, like, the farm, like, the soil that lived in, that kind of thing. And then from there, I also gained a lot of respect for mission trips, what they do, and I got to experience a different culture where it was, you know, different than what I expected. You know, I was like, oh, I didn't really know what other countries were like. So then I got kind of addicted to going on mission trips. And so I went on one every summer. I went back to Peru 3 times after that. But one I got to go on was Ethiopia. So I got to go to Ethiopia after that, where different culture, different aspects. They have coffee there as well.
Right, Ethiopian coffee is amazing.
But that's where I actually learned like what a community of coffee, what coffee can do for a community and like your like just the environment like that. Because everywhere you go in Ethiopia, especially the villages we were going into, like in Debre Zete and places like that, we were helping build up an academy there, and we were helping build like a library and some stuff like that, and we were teaching English and some sports classes and stuff. It was a lot of fun. But if you go into somebody's house, they will make you coffee and popcorn, or like coffee and bread. And so they actually roast green coffee beans right in front of you over a fire they make in the house, and then make popcorn or give bread, and then they make a little espresso with the really cool. You have to see them, Ethiopian like little teapots basically, but it's
Is it
basically
like
like
the mocha pots?
it's not like a mocha pot. It's basically they just pour all the coffee beans in the bottom, and then they boil it over the stove. So they actually crush the beans in front of you too, and then it's basically just like a little teapot. They pour it out, so you get a little bit of sludge and a little bit of similar to like the taste of like Turkish coffee, where there's a lot in there, or a
Yeah.
French press, but rolling it out. But then it was just like we drink and like talk, and they that was where it was very beautiful, because like a lot of these places we went into were, less than 5 by 7 of like tin roofed houses with things. And like I remember the mom we went to one time, we were working with some social workers, where this was a mom that had 3 kids, just her, and she literally had I think it was like 12 birr left, which like the Ethiopian birr, and she used it. She told her son to go get popcorn and coffee so she could make it for us. And she didn't really talk to us about like, hey, can you provide anything for me? Can you? Because we always kind of gave them things that we had. We had some things for them. She wanted to know about my family. She was like, hey, how's your family? What's your brother like? What does he do? Like, what do they like to do? Do they like coffee? Do they play sports? Do they do this? And it's just like, it was such a beautiful thing that I was like not ready for, I guess,
Yeah.
of like, I'm here to help you. Like, what do you need? And they're like, oh, don't worry about that. It's fine. Like, they were wanting to talk to me about my life. And that was where I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, it hit a spot for me of what coffee meant to me at that point, of like, this is now, I just love drinking coffee and talking to people, which is
Yeah.
why I love this podcast right now. It's so much fun. But
Right. No, it's so true.
yeah.
Because we don't have a lot of time for that anymore.
We don't. We kind of, we're so busy. And
Yeah.
I can even attest that today of like, I was like, just thinking about it before you set up and just like, I'm really excited for this podcast because I can just sit down and put my phone away and just be here and talk. And I've been.
Can I tell you?
Yeah, please.
This is like a little taste of what Shabbos is.
I can imagine.
So this is what happened. So like today is Friday, right?
Yeah.
So like after this, I am going to be in a frenzy. Like yeah. I get home, I'm going to be like cleaning a Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
All the food has to be cooked. You have to figure out which lights in your house you want on and off. Because like you got to think, right? Like,
yeah, so
there's,
like, yeah.
There's this checklist.
You can't turn anything.
I can't do it. Like once it's Shabbos. So it's like no matter, like it's the summer. So Shabbos isn't starting until 8:04 p.m. tonight.
Okay. So it's sundown, I guess.
Sundown.
Okay.
And so no matter how late Shabbos starts, in the winter it starts at like 4 p.m.
Yeah,
right?
I'll say.
It doesn't matter.
Good thing you don't live in Canada. You'd have
really
so little. Like, so I guess it wouldn't start until maybe like 11:40 tonight. So you might have a little bit of time in the summer.
Really?
But
yeah, there's some weird spots that around the world where, like, I think in Hawaii, Shabbos is like 2 days, depending on like how it.
Oh,
it's weird.
Gosh.
So
and can't get like a leeway there.
No, so that they tell you usually don't travel over the weekend because it's really complicated.
Yeah,
but I think in Norway, like,
it
starts really late and ends like at 2 a.m. or something. Like, it's wild, but for most people, it's like typical sundown until like an hour after sundown Saturday night. And it's my favorite time in the whole world. And even when I've gone on this religious journey, Shabbos is something I've always really tried to maintain.
Yeah.
Because especially in today's day and age, you're moving around so fast. Like I'm 29. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, my friend at her 25th birthday party, she had it on Shabbos afternoon. It was like just a bunch of us hanging out. Nobody had their phones. No one was watching TV.
Yeah.
We were sitting around having lunch, talking for hours.
Yeah.
No one had anywhere to be. The naps are literally the best
amazing.
I've ever had in my entire life.
Nothing
people
think
always
about.
Think I'm on house arrest.
Yeah.
And I'm not. It's literally the only time I don't have to wake up early and run somewhere. And I don't have to worry about driving. And I don't have to worry about any of these events. So as I've been like networking with people outside of the Jewish community, it has been really difficult because I've like, I've missed out on some of my friends' weddings. And like there's certain events, even especially I've really been tested as an entrepreneur with coffee because a lot of events
lot of
and opportunities
on
are on Saturday.
Yeah.
So that's been rough. But it's like, to me, it's like having that internal moment to sit down
100%
is so important. And so like, that's what I want to do with my coffee brand. I know that's what you want to do with your coffee brand as well.
Yeah,
it's just understanding that, like, maybe we all can't take 25 hours out of our week every week.
Yeah.
But to have a moment, even for yourself in the morning, to just sit and be.
Totally.
And that's why I like hot coffee because it forces you. You can't do it on the go. You need to wait for it to cool down.
Especially make it hot. Yeah. That's why I like hot coffee. Most of I still like iced coffee, especially
yours.
It was amazing.
But it's my first cup needs to be hot.
That's how I am as well. And even. Man, I could talk about so many instances of how accurate that is. And I love, so first of all, I love that you like, you've stuck to your belief and your staple for being Shabbos. And like, it means a lot. It means a lot for a lot of the reasons, but it does just slowing down means so much. Journaling in the morning over coffee. That's like my favorite thing to do.
I would love to. That's
I can,
such a good idea.
I can tell whenever I have that, I say practice and I do that discipline to do that in the morning, every morning. I'm just so much because I get all my thoughts out. I just slow down and just kind of sit there. And it's like, all right, I'm not already task oriented doing task. Just drinking coffee with somebody because like you do have to slow down. You have to do that. I was just thinking about it yesterday actually. And I did a little fire and ice session yesterday, got in and everybody kind of got out of the sauna. I was just sitting there and I was like, this is nice. Just sitting and being.
That's what the ice bath does for you as well, because you could almost like fake it that I'm not stressed, that I'm calm, I've got everything under control. But like being in the ice bath, I've said this on all the podcasts with like Cody and with Josh, you are forced in that moment
to be
just
right there.
Be there, get in control of your breathing, really like get your nervous system in the right place. Can I tell you what I started doing with journaling?
Yeah.
So I really struggle with
I love journaling and I love writing, by the way.
I have a really hard time with it.
Okay.
And I have a really hard time with traditional prayer. Okay. But I really feel like this need to like connect with God,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very spiritual.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I found a way to connect the two where I write like love letters to God. And that's like my journaling. That's how that's awesome. Pray. So like when I journal, it's just like me talking to God. So I don't really do traditional prayer. I like journal.
There's so many different ways to pray. And I pray a lot of times. I talk daily with God.
Car when I'm about to get into an accident.
Yeah, that too. I also journal too, but like writing love letters to God. I write letters to God a lot in my journal. That's usually a lot of the times when I'm writing. I wish I had my book with you. I would have given you one.
I have your book. I bought it.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. You did.
I'm in the middle of it right now.
So right in the middle, there's quite a few letters where I'm writing them to God. I'm like, and it's sometimes there's funny, and sometimes my journal, I just write like
it's cathartic.
One word, you know, I write however I feel that day, no matter what. I made that promise to myself.
I love that.
Of like, if I don't feel like writing, I'm like, all right, write. I don't feel like writing.
Period.
And I'm done. Or if I'm just like there's one day that this was when I was in the military and just a lot of stuff was going on and just wasn't what I wanted. I really wrote like, fuck you. I'm like, to God, you know, that's how that day.
That's so powerful. I used to think you had to be this perfect person in order to pray. And like, I never felt like I was like good enough. And I was like, maybe when I'm better, but you don't have to be.
Yeah.
You can just be totally you. I've definitely cursed out God.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. That was like the beginning of like my real connection.
If you haven't, are you really talking to him? You know, it's like, you know,
I don't think so.
I think he appreciates it. I think, you know, I don't know.
I hope so.
I'll find out one day, I guess. But no, it was like, there's been quite a few stories of just, when people read some of those things, when I was being very raw, I'm always very raw when it comes to that. One of my friends from the Navy, he like came into his faith and was like figuring it out. And like, he actually read my book. It's a whole nother story to that. I tell you, it was an amazing story I got to learn. But he like called me one day. We were off thousands of miles apart. And he was like, hey, like, how do I do this prayer thing? And I was just like, let's just talk. He's like, do you have to like do the whole, like, you know, he was like, do you have to like cross my head or like you know, like, is there like a specific, like, thing? It's like, there can be if you want it to be, but you can just start talking. And he was like, oh, well, that's easy. And it's like kind of funny to, prayer, journaling. I love it all. Like it's,
there is, I'm going to not do my heritage justice, but in Judaism, there is like an organization, if you will, to how to approach prayer, where like in the beginning, you're actually just being grateful, like listing what you're grateful for.
Yes.
And then you put in the request afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's a little more nuanced than that, but like right now, that's what's coming to my mind.
Yeah. I mean, just like if you think about the Lord's Prayer, that was what I learned first, like the Lord's Prayer, like as you stay through it, it does kind of do similar things like thankful and prayers and that type of that. Yeah, I've always tried to do that. My grandpa taught me that a lot of just like, hey, like if I came to him or I was talking to him, he's like, he'd always, a lot of funny things about my grandpa, but he'd always be like, what are you thankful for? And he's like, if you're trying to like complain to him or do something, he's like, what are you thankful for? And then he'd say it. And like, all right, now I can hear it. Now you can tell me, now you can vent, you know, or he'd even be like, when you were venting, he's like, did you vote though? And you're like, no, after I turned 18, he was like,
I love that.
Did you vote? And he's like, no, my God, you can't complain. Don't complain to me. Like, and I was like, oh gosh,
that's a good point.
It is like not that always your vote is going to make the difference, or whatever. But it does. It's something
you
like
at least showed up and
exactly
tried to.
You tried, or you're doing something. I think that was always this thing of like, you can complain, you can do these things, you can say the world's a bad place, or you want to change it, but what are you doing first? I think that was like, and are you thankful for where you're at now? And if you are, then all right, now we can talk. Now we can do this. But it was like kind of like, all right, like more of a action first, complain later kind of thing, or just all action, you know, it's another option.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot through that. It's like understanding what
a reframe is really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just understanding where.
So I want to circle back actually, because my ADD went on this whole roll.
Like, I don't even know where we started and how we got here, but I love it.
Okay. I don't know if this is a me superpower thing or an ADD superpower thing, but like I can get off on like crazy tangents, but like bring you back.
Yeah. Yeah. ADD power, ADHD or ADD powers unite. You know, I'm there with you. So, you know,
but when you were talking about like the whole method, when you were on your mission about like in Ethiopia, especially like when they were making the coffee.
Yeah.
one thing to me that I thought was so beautiful about that story, and even just hearing it again, yeah, it's just so powerful, was that not only is that moment to sit down and get to know you, especially with their circumstances,
yeah,
over a cup of coffee and inviting you into their home and sharing like that moment, yeah, with you when like you're literally there and you're like, I'm so privileged. You're the one who needs all the help, but now you're, yeah, making, yeah, me. And like, I don't know how to handle this. But at the same time, it's not even just that. It's the whole process of the way they make coffee is so nuanced and detailed. There's so, yep, much effort that goes into something that as Americans, we take, yeah, so much granted for. And a lot of people, now that granted, this isn't good coffee.
Yeah.
But like instant coffee can be done in like a second.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah, it's, yeah, that instant gratification or instant, like faster.
Right. So everything about that, it wasn't, yeah, just sitting down with a cup of coffee. It was, no, the whole process.
It was.
That's beautiful.
It was really, it was the whole process and something that like when I came back from that, I want to go try this. So I started trying to roast coffee, you know, over my, you know, in my oven and all things, smoked up my entire house a couple times. But
yeah.
Yeah. It's like that whole process of like, you're taking the time to do it and it's not just a quick, easy thing. And they had an art form to it. Like they made good coffee when they're doing it. Similar to like just a lot of things in other cultures where it's like, we're going to do this the right way. And it's this methodical way of doing it. And it's just a very, very precise, very pristine. And they take pride in that. They take pride in the ceremony of doing.
Yeah.
And it was just that, you just slowed down. Like it just slowed everything down, made everything taste better, I think. Like it sounds crazy, but it's just,
no, it does.
You understood, like you saw where it came from. You're like, oh, that's really awesome. Like, you know, they really ground those beans like very fine. Like it was all hand ground, like almost like a mortar and pestle kind of a thing. And like that takes a lot of time. If you've ever tried grinding your own beans by crushing them, it takes a little bit. It's not the easiest thing to do, and like we just press a button, or it's like a K-cup, you know, or you know, those kind of things. And
yeah,
that, which is not like
I sell K-cups, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
And I think there's, talking with them too, there's good and bad of being busy, being fast, being efficient. And you get a lot done, you get to see a lot of people, you get a lot of work done, and you, I think there's a lot of good to that, but also there's good to slowing down and being efficient.
If you can find a balance for both.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And I love that. I think maybe it's an ADD and ADHD thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But like for me, when I'm intrigued by something,
mm-hmm,
I can only be a consumer for so long before I need to become a creator, get my own hands dirty. Right. And I think, yeah, you're the exact same way.
Yeah,
even let's say with like CrossFit, how this whole wellness place came to,
yeah,
be.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it was an opportunity. You didn't want to lose your safe space.
Yeah.
But you could have gone to a different CrossFit gym.
100%. Yeah.
That would have been the easy route.
Could have gone to a different place. Could have allowed somebody else to purchase it and buy it, and it probably would have been great. Like it's, you know, the gym is community. Learning from that, I know the people in the community make the gym. But yeah, we just wanted to protect the community as much as we could of what we thought. I could have definitely, yeah, there's a lot of things I could have done with that.
I think you're a creator though.
I like to learn. Like you said, I like to dive in. Like some of the coffee when I came back, I tried roasting, it just wasn't the same, and then I found like the right tools to do it. I did it over fire. I did it over in the oven.
And that first batch that you did well
was awesome. Like, yeah, I had some friends over and I was like, hey, I'm just going to try these ones here and we're going to do it this way. And they're like, this is really good. Like, where'd this come from? I was like, oh, I just made it in the oven just now. And then I started using some of my engineering skills and like, all right, I could do this better. I'm always like, what's the next step? And so,
yeah,
I bought like an old rotisserie oven and started doing it manually in the rotisserie oven, and then put on a Raspberry Pi and used Pico Reflow to kind of make my own profiles for the coffee and start doing all that. And it was, I wish I had a picture of it. I'd show you. The first one was pretty Frankensteinish,
yeah,
of just wires everywhere, thermocouplers here, and just figuring it out. But yeah, I started being able to repeat it and do things and like teach other people how to roast and like helping people understand what first crack is and like what the cooling process was and trying different beans out and how you roast them in different ways changes the flavor and changes the acidity in coffee. Like that was really cool to get to work with some of my friends who had never drank or couldn't really drink coffee because of the acidity. And I was like, oh, like, well, if we soak them in, you know, apple juice and lime juice overnight, like it does draw some of that out.
That was so
cool. And building
that.
Yeah, so my friend Steven, like, he's like, this is great. Like, I want this coffee. Like, and so
Yeah, because that's a lot of problems for people. People, and especially for women, there's different times, like as women's hormones change over the years after pregnancy or menopause, some women who like have drank coffee their entire life, all of a sudden it's too acidic for them and it hurts their stomachs. They can't have it anymore. And like that was part of their culture, that was part of their habits. And that's so
So
sad to like
to
lose
lose it,
that.
yeah.
Yeah.
My mom was like, my mom, I guess, remember she had me and my brother, she stopped, stopped drinking coffee during bread and just couldn't didn't like it after that. And then some of the coffee I was making, she's drinking coffee a lot. She's, this is great. Brings it like black coffee and like,
Yeah.
and that's been interesting too. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm having coffee, and they just pour creamer in it, or which I am not against that at all. Like, I
Yeah.
do what you want with your coffee. I'm not trying to say, but helping people understand, like, it can taste similar to like how beer is, and like
Yeah.
there's different flavor, different ways of brewing it, different things. Like
Have you ever had a long black?
long black? No, I have not.
Okay, so this is fun. So you've had an Americano.
Yes.
Okay, so you may have major Americanos this way.
Okay.
But traditionally, an Americano is the two shots or three shots on the bottom of your cup, and you add the hot water on top.
Oh, I always do it the opposite way.
So you have had a long
Yeah,
black. So if you
interesting.
do the hot water on top,
Yeah.
it creates the even
Yeah.
mix of the coffee, right?
Yeah.
But if you create a long black, what you're supposed to do is put the shots on top and you don't mix it
You just let
because
it.
it retains the crema from the shots. So then it almost has that consistency of a latte. But you're not having the additional calories of milk. And then when you drink it, you're getting like that gold, thick, almost like creamy flavor from the coffee
It's
first.
awesome.
And it dilutes as you go down. So you have a flavor journey.
I like, so that's actually how I like
It's the
making
Australian
Americanos.
version, by the
Okay,
way, because it's
interesting.
the opposite. Yeah.
Yeah,
So.
I got that. Yeah, that's usually how I make Americanos myself. When I was a barista and working with, like, that's how I like,
You
because
were a
it,
barista too? I
I've
did not
worked in
know
a few
that.
coffee shops before.
Okay, that's
So
cool.
yeah, I've actually like helped, I wouldn't say consult, I guess consult's a good word. I've helped people start a lot of coffee shops,
Which you told me that, but I
which,
didn't realize you had been like a barista
yeah,
as well.
I've worked in a couple of them, worked as a
Okay.
bartender before, I've worked as a couple
Yeah,
of them.
so you
Like,
have all of this
I've had a lot
experience.
of my
You've
my
lived
jobs
many
have,
lives.
yeah, it's, everybody says that, and I love it, because it builds you an experience of, you just, not that you know exactly where people have been, but you can kind of empathize or sympathize with them of
Well, I will
where they
say, I
have
think
been.
everyone should work in the food service industry
I would agree.
before they enter the world.
I would 100% agree with that, as well as some kind of public service, like military, Peace Corps or something that you're, it's like something that's, you can't control as much of, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't know. It does something for you of understanding yourself, how you fit in
Yeah.
with the community, how, like, that you're serving. Finding that service mindset, like, that's for me. That's probably a personal opinion, I guess, but it just helps, like, community service of some sort, just understanding you're
Think
not.
that's also, I mean, that's as humans, I've heard many a podcast and entrepreneurs talk about this as well, where when we are in service, that's what gives us the most satisfaction. That makes us feel really good about ourselves.
I would agree with that.
That's when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life after my little post-quarter life crisis. I was like, well, okay, if I need to do something of service, right, that's what's going to give me the most satisfaction. I'm like, what do I want to do? And so for me, I was like, okay, well, if money didn't matter, because I'm a big believer that if money's meant for you, it will come regardless. If money didn't matter, what would I do with my life? What would I want to do every day? It's like, well, I love coffee and I love chit chatting and I love people. Okay, nice. Now, everyone and their mother wants to own a coffee shop on Instagram. Everyone's like, let me quit my hard job and open up a coffee shop. Like, it's so easy. And then I was like, let me work as a barista, like for real, not just on the weekends, but like actually do it to see
See
what
what
it's
it's like.
actually like.
Yeah, what you're doing.
I can't imagine. I know there's so many ways to open a coffee shop, but I can't imagine anyone doing it without first working from the ground up.
Not a lot of people, some do, like
I've seen
they just
both.
want it, and they'll hire those kind of people. Or yeah, I've seen it both ways, in a lot of different ways. Some people have just like a good cause. There was one in Knoxville that opened up, it was a nonprofit called Rise Up, that actually worked with like trafficked women in the area,
Oh, wow.
and gave them, like, kind of like after homes and places like that, and kind of helped them figure out how they get through it. they started a coffee shop. And like didn't really know much about their roaster, didn't know much about roasting pretty much. So I was like, I kind of told them, I was like, this, where'd you roast this? This isn't very good. But then they're like, oh, he's new to it. And it kind of, he actually just started teaching himself, learning it, but it was kind of just guiding that kind of through it and then working with them. But yeah, it's, yeah, there's people like that. There's people that like have started, we're doing it in a truck for a while, like a coffee truck. So
yeah,
those are the ones that are cool one to see. A coffee culture here in town. That's off like South Lindbergh. I kind of worked with them a little bit. They had a coffee truck, now have a brick and mortar and are doing awesome. You know, it's for them, like the coffee shop bustle, hustle and bustle is like very slow compared to, you know, being in a coffee truck,
yeah,
pumping out coffee at events for like, you know, the event will go on for like an hour and a half and there's 400 people to go through. Oh, yeah. And you got to just pump them through.
You can make way more money in a shorter amount of time in a coffee truck than you could with a brick and mortar.
And sometimes that works. Some people don't ever go away from the coffee truck business because it's just they can make their own schedule, just do events, and it makes some money there. And then they can do another job or do something else as opposed to like a brick and mortar. Some, there's going to be those down times that you have to stay open because it's weird to close between like 9 and 11. But that's usually when like it's downtime. So it's a...
I call them bed hours.
Yeah. Working with a few coffee shops, like one in like Virginia, Northern Virginia, when I was living there, just helping them understand like, hey, like if you, they would like close at 2, but they wanted to stay open for like college kids, but it wasn't making money. I was like, hey, just like as the lunch crowd starts coming, transfer to like a small lunch menu, maybe cocktail bar, have like a few things. And like it exploded after that tour. Now they're like, they have like a 5 to 8 like happy hour, and then they do like a late night like date night dinner where they have somebody come in with a small menu, and it's like, so now they're open from basically 6 a.m. all the way to, you know, 10, 11, and they're making money, and they've expanded like 3 different times and needing more space for people to do like a workspace. Oh, wow. And those kind of things. And so it's, there's always different ways to make it, and it always depends on the community you're in as well. Like what's, that's where I always ask coffee shops when they're starting to start. Similar, we've been asking questions on of like, what's your demographic? Who's coming to the coffee shop and who wants to use it? If it's like, if it's a college town, if it's a Navy town, if it's just workers.
Right.
Like up in, yeah. You know, to get into up in like Meadow Lake in Canada, it's like, it's a bunch of mill workers and people like that that leave in the mornings, and like none of the coffee shops except for McDonald's or Tim Hortons are open until 7:30 or 8. It's like, right. Well, you're missing out on 90% of your people getting coffee because they're getting a lot of coffee in the morning. So
that's a good point.
But yeah. So I just went off on a long tangent there. That's could talk about what that for this it's is like all my about. Yeah. It's,
that's what we're here for.
Yeah. I could talk a lot about coffee shops and how they, but I can, which I'm really excited to possibly building my own eventually, and then getting yours up and going maybe eventually. Yeah. You know, it'd be kind of fun. But yeah, just, they're just awesome places to be because you just, one of the coolest ones I went, I was in the Navy, and after I had to kind of switch kind of roles in the Navy, I got injured in hospital and got re-rated in the military. Let's so
back up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
With your military experience,
yep.
Being in the Navy.
Yeah.
First of all, why the Navy of all the different branches to choose? That's like
funny.
And also, how old were you?
So I was, what was it, 22?
Is that kind of late?
23?
To good job.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, most people don't. Kidding that they do most of the time it comes out of college, like come out of like 17, 18.
Yeah,
I kind of
young to not realize they're not invincible.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of wanted to right out of college or right out of high school. Mom kind of convinced me a little bit because I had a scholarship to play some football in college. So I was, she's like, just go get your degree, go to that,
so you
and then
finished your degree.
Yes, so I went to college, finished my degree in computer science and mathematics, and then started working down in Springfield, Missouri at Jack Henry and Associates as a software engineer for a banking software company. Living in the cubicle life, started, it was kind of funny, talking to my brothers all the time. Like we kind of had like a pact, a little bit of like, hey, if we can just make like, you know, X amount of money, it was like very, like over $30,000 a year. Like we can take care of mom. We can do this. It'll be great. Like, you know, so we worked on, I was like, I'm going to get my degree. You get yours. We do this. And just making very good money out of college, you know, and like, and in a cubicle doing good at my job. Loved the job. Work was great. I was good at it. But something was missing, I think. And I always wanted to serve still. Mm-hmm. And I saw people I was working with, no offense to them or anything, but it was like, I was the youngest by like 20 years on my team. new kid, and like they're like, oh, you'll learn. Like basically, they're kind of miserable. I wouldn't say terribly miserable, but it was like,
I know what you mean.
They were just like, there's
it's
always
the corporate energy.
Yeah, always like I'm not making enough money. Always like
always
struggling,
just
chasing the next thing.
I just saw this recently too. They talk about this where it's like. There, I wish I remember the exact phrase of it, but there's this little incremental increase in your spending as you get a little bit more money. And in addition to that, because you're not doing something that's truly fulfilling, you're good at it. You're making very good money and start making really good money. But because something's kind of missing and you're like, I don't want my whole life to be about work. So then you start spending money on this lifestyle outside of work. And then you're almost, they call it the golden handcuffs, right? Not to mention the good benefits that you get. So you never want to leave that job. And then you end up not feeling like you're doing anything of purpose per se after a while. And you're just like, but you can't leave because you've created this lifestyle that you've
you
become
need
accustomed
that money
to.
And you,
correct. And so you have people who are making 80 to 100 to 200K. And they're living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes.
Or they're crazy in debt.
Or you talk to them and it's like, hey, you want to go like on a hike this weekend? Like, oh, I can't afford it. I got it. It's like, we're just going hiking. Like, I'm not. Like, that was literally something that happened there. And it's, you're exactly right. And it's like, I saw that and I was like, man, I could become that very easily. Like,
all
I could see that. Right. And I was like, I just don't want that. And then, so I was like, all right, I still want to serve. So I went literally on a Saturday. I just kind of decided this, and I went to the recruiter station, which is like in a little area in Springfield where it has like Navy, Army. There's an Air Force one down the street. I actually went to the Army first. Nobody was there. I went to the Air Force. Navy guy was there. They were doing a what's called a PST, or like a physical fitness test, with some of the like special warfare guys and those kind of things. And they're like, you want to join them? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll take the tests. And then kind of went down this path and was like, I want to join. Like, they're like, well, like, you have a degree, we can go into the officer candidate soon.
Your curiosity.
Yeah. And so, I kind of went down a path of like trying to go officer and looking at this. And then I got accepted for an officer candidateship. And then I was like, okay, awesome. Like,
how many years in were you at this point?
Into the job?
Yeah.
Like a year and a half, almost 2 years. I was almost there for a year and a half, 2 years.
Were you serving like here in the US or like, I'm saying like, did you even stationed anywhere or?
So this is before this, I haven't gotten to that part yet, but this is just me. Like I was just doing the training up for there. And then like officer candidateship is like, you have to go to a board and like, it's like, you have to have qualified to become, if you don't go through like Naval Academy or anything like that, you have to, and so I had a degree and so I can go into the military with a degree and become an officer. So there's, I don't know if you know the difference between officer and enlisted. Very well or not.
Nothing.
Okay, so that's for anybody that doesn't know, like you can go in as an officer, which is more of like the higher up leaders who are like dictating what's happening, doing all this. So you're a higher rank than say an enlisted person, which is more, don't have a degree or more, I don't know, it's kind of weird unless you're in the military, you understand it. There is a very big hierarchy between officer and enlisted. Like
so because you already had your degree. You had
I had the ability to go officer
to be a higher rank without having to put in the time per se.
Yeah. So, but after I went through all the process of doing, which takes a little bit, they were like, all right, you'll leave in like 8 months. And I'm like, I kind of want to leave now. It seems like a little far away. Like, what if I went enlisted? And they're like, oh, go in 3 weeks. I'm like, I'll take that. Let's go. And everybody thinks I'm crazy for doing that. But, I'm so glad I did. And I shot high for what I wanted. I wanted to, I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all in. So I went through like the BUDS program or the Navy SEAL program. Didn't make it through, got pretty far and into Hell Week, but then got injured, and into the hospital. And basically what I was telling you is had to make a decision to either, wait 2 years. There's a lot of complications with my medical history. I had to either wait 2 years and get back through the program, or I could go needs of the Navy and get re-rated. So that's what got me into Pensacola, and I became a naval air crewman, flying in helicopters and doing some stuff, which it's a great decision. Moved through that. And I loved every step of the way. Like it was even the like BUDS training and things. I loved it because I was getting to push myself to a new boundary every single day. It was a lot of, for me, it was a lot of fun. I was learned so much about myself, so much about people, just what serving really meant. And just what it meant to be, to submit to something. And, you know, hey, I'm here to serve, whatever you guys want me to do. That was literally how I felt about it. I was like, this is not my life right now. Similar to almost, you know, surrendering to God in a way. That's where it was really awesome. Like I never even mentioned my faith or God, but like guys came to me throughout the entire process of just like, hey, what can you help me with this? Like, I'm trying to sacrifice, I'm trying to like serve something, or, you know, submit to something. And it's like, oh, this is, and they would ask me questions, you know? And so it was an amazing time. So much stuff I learned. And then, I got to go on some deployment when I got through my air crewman school and flew in helicopters. Like, so I was a crewman in the back. I was not a pilot, because officers are the pilots, where we just do stuff in the back. I got to go on a few deployments. Got to go on some like a hazard mission to Puerto Rico whenever the hurricanes went. So I got to kind of help out with the hurricanes down there and move supplies, get water to places. And got to go to South Korea, stuff like that. So it was a great time. Met a lot of good people, do a lot of good things. So
okay. Did you have any like trauma or PTSD at all from being in the service, or not really with what you're
doing? So that's always like a question that people ask a lot, and that's a good question. Like a lot of people do. I'd say no, but also like, I'm not. So I don't try to downplay. I don't really know how to define PTSD. It's very hard to.
It depends on your experience, right?
It does.
So unless you've had a traumatic experience,
It was. So I've definitely had some, you know, throughout my time. Flying helicopters was very traumatic in general. Just a few close calls in the helicopter, you know, and a few minor crashes, stuff like that. It was always like, once I always kind of joke around with people, like once. We even had some like patches that said it, but it was like the Valhalla Admit One ticket. Like it's like basically like when you've come close to death, you're like, Valhalla Admit One, you've already punched your ticket. So now you're just living on borrowed time.
I kind of can relate to this in a weird twisted way. Yeah, yeah. So Tuesday, there was a little tornado here in St. Louis. There was like, I think it touched down in like Chesterfield.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard the sirens and stuff.
There, I was in Chesterfield when it happened.
Yeah.
Gosh. I was just leaving my chiropractor.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, because I'm dumb and I think I'm invincible, I was like, I can just drive really fast. It'll be fine. Right. And so like I saw it like swirling. Oh, I didn't see it touch, but I'm like, this feels different than a thunderstorm. And then as I was driving at one point, I like, this is an example where I just started talking to God, because so remember how I said I wasn't afraid of death? Kind of don't want to die. Just, please. Thank you. And it was so wild, because like what's crazy about with tornadoes and storms is as fast as they come through, then they're over. Right. And so when I got to a point where I was like past the hard part of like the tornado and the rain and all that, and I realized I didn't die and I was gonna be fine. There's like that weird like adrenaline junkie rush. Where you're like, woo, okay, I didn't die. This is great. So I guess that's kind of like that weird.
That's a true statement there. Yeah. I'd say. Yeah. And I've definitely felt that. And it's similar to the feeling you're talking about, of like whether you're getting shot at, or, you know, whatever that's kind of going on. Like it's, you, however close you've come before, like, oh, that was, you kind of, you live a little bit. If you can get past it, which some can, and that's where that hard line is. If you can, and that's where it was good for me, at least when I went in, like my identity was already in, like, that's where I was, like, I already had my identity and identity in Christ, and like, you know, and like my faith a little bit. So it's so there's a lot of kids to go in.
Your toolkit.
I did. I had my stuff I could rely on, of like, it's hard to really explain what those things were, but a lot of kids go in when they're 17, 18, which I tried to mentor as many as I could, and it was awesome to get to do that. They haven't found that yet. And then in the military, you're getting basically prescribed your identity in a way, which is a good and bad thing all around.
I totally see that.
Where it's for the mission and for what you're doing, and being a soldier.
Yeah.
It's very good, because like you're not thinking, you're doing, you're listening, and you're learning some skills that are very useful for later on. But then once you get out and you have to, or once you get past that, or you're kind of, you slow down and you think, you don't know how to make some decisions sometimes, or you don't know why you're doing things.
There's an episode that I had with this guy named Tim. He owns Fox too, right?
Yep. I know Tim. Yeah. I just recently met Tim with Josh and Eric. So I really want to get him into the Back to Balance program for the veterans that I'm doing. So,
but he's so cool. But in our interview, he was saying about how one of the hardest things is, like, he says over there, like when he was stationed, it was like you're in the rawest, purest form of life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hungry, you eat. If you're tired, you sleep. If you're the enemy, you go get them. Versus you come back to like the U.S., which is a very privileged lifestyle.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you're like, you need to find purpose and meaning, and he's working on it all the time to create for himself, but it's a challenge.
That's the biggest challenge. And
especially at such a young age for these boys who are like going in, then what's their purpose?
He's hitting it right on. We had a panel of all of us talking. We could probably say almost the exact same thing.
Another point, though, before you go on to what you're about to say, too, is that I heard something recently talking about men. This woman asked ChatGPT.
Yeah.
What are some of the questions that men are asking around the world to ChatGPT?
Oh, yeah.
What are they concerned about? Like, what are men's biggest things? And a bunch of men were saying that with women becoming more independent and financially, like, independent and having more purpose and not needing a man, per se,
because
they're self-sufficient in many ways, men are like, what is my goal?
Yeah, I mean, that's a true statement as well.
So I think that whole thing combined, you know, so you have these boys who are coming back and have purpose, have rank, had, you know, and then it's like coming into a world where it's like, not only do they have to find personal purpose, but the traditional ways of like providing as a man are different.
Yeah.
So how do you find that space? I mean, that's a whole,
we could have a whole talk on that. There's a lot to that. And I've talked with a lot of guys that are like that. It's like, they just want to, I mean, military has taught you to protect and to show that. And like a lot of like the younger guys come back and want to protect women but it's kind of like, that's almost looked at as almost a bad thing in some places of like, oh, it's just a weird world.
It's
sometimes.
Well-intentioned. It's well-intentioned, just more about how it's
perceived, right, which you have to follow that. Yeah. And, we're not taught how to present. That's not a skill they teach you in the military, is how to present it so everybody's okay with it. It's more of a, this is what we do. We're doing it well. Like, if I need to protect, I protect.
Right.
Hard.
And women,
you know,
communicate.
And that's
very
not, so it's tough, but yeah, kind of going back to just the generality of that, of like, you say you're on mission or on a deployment or on, you know, you're about to do a flight. You have to, the amount of focus that's needed for something like that is like everything. You need the utmost focus to say, you know, fly or to go on mission, to like go through a door. You know, it's the person that you're flying with, or the person you're going through anything with, going on a mission with, relies on that. Your guys, your boys rely on that. Like, everybody you're going through the door relies on that. So whatever was happening back home, whatever's happening before you step through the door, doesn't matter. Like, you could be going through a divorce, and these are like real life answers to this, like going through a divorce, you know, your parents just died, you know, you're dealing with money problems, like all of this stuff, it goes away. And you're on, and like, you can fuck, and like, everything else goes away. But that amount of focus, it's very hard to replicate in the civilian world. There's ways to do it, which we're coping with,
but men are also, I think, in general, expected to be like that as well.
Yeah.
Even out of like the military, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's where it's hard to replicate. So when we get out and it's like, all right, I got really, ADHD and like all these things, I want to focus on all these things all at once, because that's what's getting it. But then things like CrossFit have helped. Like, I get to go into a class and I don't think for 45 minutes to an hour and just work through the workout. That's the mission that day. Or fire and ice with Josh, and like doing the cold plunge and sauna. Like, that's something for me has been like, I have to have that as a practice, or else I feel myself getting in this way. Because like, and when I'm in the ice, like I can't focus on, I really can't focus on it. I have to focus on my breathing, getting myself calm, or else like, it's just being focused. And I think that's what, when you talk to guys, we'd almost, or talk to anybody coming out of the military like that, it's, it's mostly the same thing of that, of like figuring how to cope with that a little bit. And also the thing I always tell people is like, in the military, even when you're back home, not on deployment or whatever, just where you're stationed, it's on Friday nights. It was never a, like, you know, getting people together and, you know, hey, are you free? Are you free? I was like, hey, where are we going? Like, it's your family. Like, you live with this, you live, work with, and go out with the same people all the time. Like, and it's a family. It's the most utmost of community you can think of. Like, it's nobody gets left out. It doesn't matter if you truly like the person or not. Like, it's just like, it could be the, you know, you could not get along really, but you actually get along. Like, you'd be totally different aspects. Everybody gets along no matter what, because you're all doing the same thing. I'll say that I've served with a lot of women in the Navy too, and it's very similar. Like, we're all just family. It was like everybody knew what it was. But when you,
because we all have the same purpose.
Exactly, you all have the same purpose. When you get out of the military, this was difficult for me when I started working in DC up, and I got my first job out of the military. You know, I was married and we both had jobs, but I wanted to like find a community and do things with people, but it was so hard. Like, well, I'm not free until, you know, 2 Saturdays from now, and then we can do something for 45 minutes. I don't even know. That's so far ahead. And it's like, you'd want to do this, and what you try to make plans, try to do things, but what you end up doing, or what I ended up doing, not everybody does this, but like, you start going out by yourself. Or you end up not going out at all, staying home.
Yeah.
Drinking.
You're right.
Trying to find something. I'm like, oh, I'll just figure this out myself.
It's very rare to find that group of people where it's like, no matter what, you're down.
Yeah. And so it's the
best feeling, though, when you do.
It is. And that's when I finally did find it in Knoxville, Tennessee. I remember Cole's, like, just like yesterday, I went for like a 5:30 class on a Friday. And we had a... I didn't know anybody there. I just took the class. I was like, this is awesome. I love this workout. This is good. Like, I felt good after the workout. Random guy. I was just like, hey, you want to come for a beer? There's a brewery down the street. Yes, I do. Yes. And just talked for like 2 hours after that. And then became some of my best friends, you know, still like Derek to this day. He's a PT trainer and coach. I still talk to him, or I still talk to Rebecca from like this person, one person that owns the gym. And just talk to them, see how they're doing. Like, it's like it's a family, and they ask me, they're like, oh, how'd you do in the open this year? How'd you do? I heard, saw your scores are doing great. Like, they're my family still. Like, and everybody, I think a lot of CrossFit gyms and people leave CrossFit gyms and like go to other ones, it's like they just keep building more and more families. And that's the kind of community I love. And that was, I don't know, that's what draws me to. That's what draws me to that community. It's, there's a lot of ways to do that, but it's what I've found. Like, it's what we found here, I guess. It's kind of,
yeah. And you've created here, and you're helping other people have it too, which
exactly.
is awesome.
I just want that for everybody, no matter how you find that. There's other ways to find
people
that.
People are craving it. People are very lonely, for sure.
I call it talking with a bunch of my friends that are going to church and things like that. So it's almost like the new age church CrossFit a little bit. It's like,
yes.
If you think about, I mentioned this to my buddy Josh, who's like, I explained it to him. He's like, oh my gosh, you're almost right. Like, if you think about the true body of Christ and like what, or the body of the church and what the church does, it's like, hey, we have better attendance here than people go to church. Like, most people in like the Baptist world, at least, go to church, you know, once every Sunday, maybe on a Wednesday, and then Sunday nights, I was having a conversation. I was like, I still don't know why we go on Sunday nights. Like, why you go on Sunday morning and then Sunday nights? Like, a funny thing. I don't know why. I was thinking about that the other day, but yeah, it's like we have better attendance at the CrossFit gym. We see people, we care about people more. We ask questions, like, if anybody wants help, like, hey, can I get anybody to help me like move this dresser this weekend? Oh yeah, you have more people than you need.
Yeah.
Or it's like, hey, let's all go have life together. How are you doing? Like, we talk more about how life is, as opposed to what sometimes when I went to church. This is not true for all churches. This is just, I might have had some bad experiences at some points, but it's like, it's a very fake front. They're like, oh, similar to what you're talking about earlier, I have to be a good person, or I have to show that I'm being this good church person or Christian person or Jewish person. I'm following the faith. And it's like, you can be real, but you end up not, because you're afraid of how people will judge you or see you or what you're doing. And it's like, you can be yourself here and like, hey, I'm not having a good day. I'd rather not talk. Okay, cool, man. Get in the workout. Let's go. Let's get this done. And then you talk afterwards, like, man, thanks for letting me do the workout. Can't tell me how me and Pete have done that. It's like, I can just tell we're not. Pete could do the same for me. He's like, hey, let's go get a workout. I'm like, all right, let's go. Or I'm like, I see Pete and he's like, you know, just down a little bit or just like thinking about a lot of stuff. Let's go get a workout. And it's like, that's good. Like,
yeah.
And then we talk about it or we just like laugh or we do whatever, you know, or it's like, there's something to that that's like, I just.
Magical.
Yeah. There's some science behind it probably, you know, endorphins and dopamine and all these things. Yeah. Josh will love to tell about all that. So it's kind of.
I was going to add to this. So it's not called church in Judaism. It's called the shul, synagogue, yeah. Temple, whatever. Growing up Orthodox, I always called it shul. And there is this amazing community aspect to it. And we all need community and love community. But you're right. For me, at least, my experience was, and I will take accountability for this because I don't think it has to be this way. I think this is just how I showed up.
Yep.
Which was, again, me feeling like I needed to present in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I couldn't let people know what I'm really doing.
Yeah.
And the irony is ever since I've been on my like faith journey, right? And I've been super chill and I'm very much like, here's what Judaism is. Here's what you're supposed to do. Here's what I do. And I do what's meaningful and whatever's not is a journey. I'm not saying never, but it's a journey.
Yeah.
And what's intriguing to me is the amount of currently religious people who like now when they're around me, they're just like, they open up about all the shit that they're doing.
Yeah.
Which by the way, I'm like, first of all, I'm never going to judge you. And second of all, it's really not that bad. Yeah. We're all so hard on ourselves because we expect ourselves to be at this level. And I think when you're in like the house of God, right? Whatever that is to you, a mosque, a church, a shul, right? Wherever you are, you're like, I'm in a much holier place. You're dressing nicer. You're dressing more modestly. You're acting in a certain way. If you curse, you don't curse there, right?
Yeah.
You are presenting the best version of yourself. But at the same time, it's very almost inauthentic because you're like, but I can't just be me versus at a gym. You're pushing yourself and you're the most worst version.
Yeah.
Where you're like, right.
Yeah.
You're like sweating and grunting better. And you're in so much pain. And like those endorphins that you get afterwards make you feel amazing. And if you do it in a group setting, there's that bonding element to it. So I think there's something really special there.
There's so many. I just thought of so many different things here. So I'm going to try and like reel in some of them. But like the fact, what you said there of like when we go to, say when we go to like, how'd you say, was it shul?
Shul.
S-H-U-L. So shul or church on Sunday or Saturday. Like you said, like, there's a good question to ask. Like, why are you going? Like, why would you go to shul? Like, what's the reason?
Well, I had three reasons back in the day.
Okay.
One was because I wanted to get a good marriage partner.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So I wanted to be the good girl who goes to shul. Yeah, and I wanted the moms to see me. And then, of course,
I went to church for the same reason. The cute reasons
boys for across. Yeah, yeah, so I would see them and I wanted them to see me being so holy. Yeah. And then my friends, right? Yeah. Good to see my friends and stuff. And like, especially, say, for example, on Shabbos morning until like 9 p.m. That's a long, long day.
Yeah.
So sometimes, not gonna lie, I get a little bored. So I would go to shul because I'm getting out of my house. I'm getting dressed, you know.
There's more I was asking. There's a lot of good reasons. Community, those kind of things. Like most of the time when we're
God.
God. Yeah.
All the reasons, but God.
And I think some of the reasons, there's all kinds of different reasons. The reasons we go to the gym is we're trying to better ourselves. You're almost with that. You're already humble in that aspect of like,
I wasn't going to better myself to show that's not why I was going. Exactly. It was always for other people.
We almost should be.
You're right.
We should be humble enough.
So powerful.
Yeah. I just thought about it. I was like, that's true. Like if everybody came in and said, like, hey, I'm just trying to get better here. Like what can we do? And like, I am failing at that. Like, how are you doing with
what
that?
If you just approach to everything in your life. That
exactly.
Way? Like that is such a powerful reframe.
Yeah, it is. And that's
even let's say relationships. That's something that people are so scared of. Like, I don't want people to like, I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want people to think badly of me. I don't want to disappoint this person. But what if it's just like two people getting together and we're like, I want to get better. And I think you could be the person who can help me get better.
Probably the key to relationship.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Because I got like, even a test that was like, so I've been married and I got a divorce and like I
That was your greatest fear.
yes, I was about to say, like, it was like growing up in church and like my mom's been married a few times, dad's been married even more, you know. I didn't growing up in like a broken, whatever you can call it, broken. My mom made it unbroken, I'll say that. My mom made it amazing as a single parent. But like I didn't want that. That was gonna be my identity of like, I really wanna pick the right one, do this, you know, that kind of thing. And then when it happened, I felt like a failure and I didn't want to tell anybody. And I felt like I had just like, at first I felt like I had just like, oh, I can never be a Christian anymore. Can't go to church. Like, how am I going to be seen? And what's sad is some things like you can't be a deacon in some churches if you're divorced, that kind of thing. So there's all kinds of different things. It's like very tough. But then once I realized that, like, I was like, man, like it's okay. And God kind of like let me understand that it's okay. Like you can get better from this, or you can learn. And it's like the next relationship, you know, just kind of learned a lot. And then now it's my relationship with my girlfriend now, Dana. It's like we do treat it like that. It's like we're just trying to make each other better, and we do a lot. Like, especially since we own a gym up there together, and now we have this one down here. And it's like you learn a lot. You're just growing. You're growing. You're learning. But like you just said, like it's. At the gym, you come to get, you're trying to better yourself. And if you just go to somebody trying to better yourself when you're not doing it for the status or doing it because you whatever, those other sets of reasons, if you, those things will come. I think those aspects of being in a relationship or doing whatever that action is, like going to the gym or will come. But like, if you just try to better yourself wherever you're at, like you said, like be the rookie. Like I was, that's what I tried to do whenever I was in sports all the time, is like just act like you're the rookie. Or like, I remember when like one of my coaches in like basketball and baseball, Coach Yunt, he would always, I kind of found this out years before that, but my mindset was always like, oh, whatever. I respected him so much and what he did and like how he coached, because he really taught me how to work hard and do the right thing, even though it was like, he always said high off the glass, which is a book we should write one day. But it's like for basketball, shoot it high off the glass. It's easier to do it a little bit lower, quicker. You might be lazy, but if you get it high off the glass, it's a higher percentage. Like just through and through. So anytime he'd be talking to the crowd or the team, I'd always be like, that's me. Like he'd be like, hey, make sure you get lower on your stance from your defense, or like make sure you communicate more or do all those things. I always thought he was talking to me, and I always took it like it was me that he's like pinpointing. Later on, he was like, I was never worried about you, Will. Like that was to this kind of, and I was like, but like if you think it's always towards you, or you're just trying to better yourself all the time and just really try to, like it makes a world of difference. In a lot of different aspects.
That
I don't
can
know,
be
that was
applied to everything. That's
exactly
brilliant.
your job, your relationship, you know, making coffee, you know, drinking coffee. I don't know. Like, you know, it's just like.
No, I mean, even let's say, for example, this is like a reframe that I've been giving myself this past week because I had in my high school, we had to do a certain amount of hours of charity in the community. And one of the programs that they had for the girls, there was different ones you could choose from, was an adopt a grandmother program. Now, my grandparents were alive and well when I was in high school. I would visit them all the time. So I'm like, I don't need a grandparent, right? But there was a girl who I wanted to be friends with, but I was too shy. And we sat next to each other every day, like during like prayer services. And we would chit chat, but I never was like brave enough to be like, hey, do you want to hang out with me? And so they did this adopt a, they, you know, the head of the charity was a program in our school. She was like, okay, here are the different programs. And there was this elderly woman who was in her late 80s at the time, Genevieve Kramer. She actually was on my podcast and she just passed away. So like it was
Oh,
really special that like I
that's good
had
to
that
have that
record
memory.
of her. But she passed away at 100. I started visiting her when she was like 89.
It's crazy to think that
And
that's.
she was from the South. She's from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, that's where I lived. That's where I lived
Yeah.
for a little bit.
Yeah, gorgeous Southern drawl. Love it. And so she gave me so much good life advice. And anyways, we started visiting her together, and that's how we became friends.
That's awesome.
We're still friends. She actually just texted me. I have to text her back after this
Oh
podcast
yeah,
episode.
that's a.
I was complaining to her in my early 20s about a job once, and I was bored and so fulfilled. And she was like, well, Nishama, that's why we call it work. Because if it's supposed to be called
Man,
fun, it
hey,
would be
hey.
called fun,
Yeah,
right?
that's
So like a
true.
reframe that I've been doing this past week, because as a barista, I really do love what I do. But I'm not going to lie. Some days it's just work.
It's just work.
And what people don't realize about being a barista is that it's not just being like cute and chit-chatting with people and making coffee. There is so much cleaning.
I can't even tell you. Cleaning, prepping. So much prepping, so much cleaning.
And meanwhile, you're trying to do it in between customers coming and like your social meter is just dying, right? Yeah. So like finding the energy for everything, like kudos to anyone in the food service industry. It is not for the weak.
Yeah.
But that being said, I've been trying to like not think about, oh my gosh, this is every day for the rest of my life. Yeah. And just more about, I'm here right now. How can I like be the best version of myself? Yep. Even like, let's say, for example, like today I was like cleaning like the bathrooms and like the like toilets and stuff. And I'm just like, how can I do this in a way where like I'm really taking pride in like what I'm doing?
Yeah. Thanks.
It's not really affecting anyone else but myself. Yeah. But if I have to be here, how can I show up in a way
that's
adding value and character to myself?
A verse comes to mind that it was probably my life motto verse, like in Philippians, is like when you're doing something, you do it unto Christ, not for men, like with everything you have. And it's like you're doing it for God and not for anybody else.
That's a very high level.
And
Kabbalah talks about that.
Really?
Where it's like how this whole world is just an illusion. And it's all about us, the connection with God. Because if you think about it, the only two relationships you're ever going to have in your life are the one with yourself and the one with God. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else, like, have you ever like had a relationship with someone where like when you changed how you show up and how you've changed your relationship with God, all of a sudden the relationship with that person changes?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
So interesting.
So everything's an illusion.
Yeah. With being at Southwest Baptist and like having theology majors all the time. I was not a theology major, but get to talk with them all the time. And I would work for the IT department. So I worked with professors and fixing their computers mainly. And I'd have to talk to them. So I remember Dr. Reeves, and he was the most just transparent, like honest, like theology professor. I think he was more on like the New Testament. But anyways, he was just like, he was looking out the window one day and I was like, hey, I was fixing his computer. And I was like, hey, what's going on? You guys? He's like, I'm just trying to figure out why we're even here. Like, this is a professor of theology thinking like he has it all figured out. He's like, I just don't really have it figured out, Will. And I'm like, okay. And I get taught me a lot. And it's like you said, it's interesting hearing like, it might just be the Matrix, you know, maybe kind of is.
Well, no, because in Judaism, there's this concept of like, this world is just a corridor to the next world.
Yeah.
So that is an illusion.
Yeah.
In terms of like in Judaism, one thing that we believe in is that like heaven and hell isn't really a physical place like people believe. It's more of we create it based on our actions.
Yeah.
You create your heaven and hell. Of all the things that make you you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're still working and doing contract work or full-time work as like a full-time software engineer? Is that what you are?
I'm a full-time employee as a... we call it a DevSecOps engineer, or a cybersecurity engineer, but doing software development.
Is there ever a world where you wouldn't want to be doing that anymore?
You know, there's been thoughts of that, and like everybody's like, oh, it could be nice whenever you don't have to work, or why are you even working anymore? Somebody just mentioned that, like, why are you like somebody I hadn't talked to in a while, and we were talking about all the things we do. He actually does his own podcast. He has big Jordan Gonzalez. He has big fitness gym and pod. We were talking about all kinds of stuff, but like, oh, you still have your full-time job? He's like, how do you do that? And I'm like, you know, it's like, I like it a lot. And I do love software development and working within a team, even if it is big corporate and, you know, and dealing with that. I actually love building teams within that and working within a team, figuring it out, like given those like unsolvable problems that, you know, that have all the corporate entanglements and, you know, political things and like, you know, working with other companies, those kind of things. I actually love it. It's actually a bunch of fun because you're solving different problems every day and you get to be with a lot of really great people. And you get to show them some other things of like, they get to see the other side of you too. It's like some people are just really drawn into corporate and that's all they can see and they don't have anything outside of it. I'm like, hey, I'm about to go get some coffee and do like this little coffee and chill thing. You want to come up? And like, I've actually got to bring some of that life into the corporate world, believe it or not. I do coffee and code. I started it as just like a, I started as like everybody in the corporate world just like so go meeting, and it's like this is the topic of the meeting agenda, we go, I literally started because my team was getting burnt out of just developing all the time, and we were actually being less efficient. It wasn't being very good. So I was like, hey, we're just gonna Thursday mornings from 9 to 10, we're gonna on a call, everybody get on video, and we're just gonna drink some coffee and talk about the coffee you're drinking. And then somebody's like, well, I drink tea. I'm like, well, talk about a hot beverage, it's fine. Like, we'll just talk. And we just relaxed and chilled, and like kind of in that we were there for a time. And we talked about coffee, relaxed, it was fun, relaxing, didn't do anything. And then somebody'd be like, oh, like, did you have this problem? Does anybody know anything about this? And like, oh, I've done that before. Like an actual work problem came up, and we're like, oh, we fixed it real easily. And it was just like, bam. So it's, and then that started, we started bringing more and more people on that call, more and more, until it got to be, it was when I first, the first rendition of it got to where there was like 350 people from the company on a call.
That's insane.
Crazy. It got almost too big. And we're just solving problems very quickly. Everybody's relaxed. Great time. Then it, with corporate, they all ever poisons it a little bit of like, oh, that's a great thing Will's doing. Like, everybody must go, or, you know, let's go there. And then, or managers started coming in, which is a bad thing. I actually have managers that come, but like, they were just like, all right, what's going on here? It's like, who's, and then I was asking like, what, how are you charging this time? How are you doing this? Is it actually a thing? And like, I had to push back a lot and be like, if you guys want to stop this, you can, but like, this is, these are the problems we've solved because we've had this many people on a call, and we solved problems that would sometimes take literally years because we, two people in the company would never have any reason to talk to each other. They're on this call like, oh, we already doing that. Here's the code for it. Oh, we just, and like, I literally did a whole like presentation on how much money it saved a couple times of like all the problems we solved. And it was astronomical. And
that's amazing. With an
M on the number, like millions.
Going back to the whole thing of like taking a moment to just step back, and that's not. And I think a lot of times people think that's going to stop their progress. Yeah. But even with workouts, it's the same thing. You're supposed to have a rest day. It could even be an active recovery day, but you're not supposed to go hardcore every single day. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Going back to your initial question, like that's what I do like about it, and I've got to bring that in. And everybody like values that, and that's, I've seen people. It's really cool to see there's a bunch of other ones at the company now that are starting this, like they call it like brew and code, or a coffee and chill, like, you know, these kind of things. And it's really awesome to see, and everybody's like loves it, and like it's, we're doing it, you know. But I love building teams, and I do like my job. I don't think I'll ever stop. I'll always do something like that, because it's I like technology. I like consulting. It's hard to, I don't like saying just technology and like software. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah,
you're problem solving. I tell people like software engineering is like you have data going from one place to the other, and you're just trying to make it look pretty or do different things. Like that's in essence what anything is. It's what the internet is. It's what, how we're recording this. It's like my audio data going through here, through your wire recording it. And then you're going to do some fun things with it, with video and all this other data, and make it look nice, you know? And for a purpose. And so it's, yeah, just piecing that kind of stuff together, building different things. You know, you have to think outside of the box a lot in software and building things. Cause like somebody might have an idea of like, I don't know how to do this, but I want it to do this. And so you have to understand some of the underlying infrastructure of other things, no limitations, no exceedances, know some policy guardrails of like, hey, this is for security reasons. We can't do this and we can do that, that kind of thing. So. Yeah. I don't plan on quitting my job anytime soon. Could I definitely do other jobs like what I'm doing right now and spend more time on those and do better with them? Yeah. But you know,
I wanted to ask you, this is like a fun question that I've been asking my guests the past few episodes.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, as we've kind of found out more about you and your story, there's a lot that you didn't plan. It's just more about you following your curiosity. You love diving headfirst into things and problem solving and consulting, like being in the muck of things and then finding the clarity. You love that. That's in every other thing that you do. That's kind of the core theme, I think.
Yeah.
But that being said, 10 years from now, abundance mindset, no scarcity here. Mm-hmm. If everything could go well, where would you like to be in 10 years?
Yeah. Remember, you hinted at this before. Still, yeah. So I would say, in my mind right now, like the more I talk with people that are here and seeing what this is, what this space has become, this wellness center has become, and the things we're getting to do, like our veterans program, and how much I've just talked to a couple guys today of like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I've been looking for something like that. I want to do it. Just some of the things talking about, I would love for this place to keep growing, this place, the community to keep growing, and also for to be able to help or to build other wellness centers and wellness hubs similar to this. Not for the monetary gain, and I really mean that, like not for like building money and wealth and all that kind of stuff, but honestly to build community everywhere, because there's just I don't think there's enough of it.
Yeah.
And I would love to build those places where people can come and be and learn and get better and strive for their passion, strive for their dreams, almost like a place where you can dream and can do these things. So those would be some things I'd love, like that's one aspect of just keep growing those. Maybe I have, you know, 6 or 7 of them around the US or, you know, North America or even, you know, global. Like 10 years is a long time. There's a lot. Me and Pete were talking, you can do a lot in a year. So I can't imagine what we can do in 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, and then there's a lot of other passions and programs I want to dive into. For more of like one of the biggest passions of mine that I don't talk about a lot, just because a lot of people don't like to talk about it a lot, but people being trafficked in the world. It's like I got to see too much of it when I was in the military, and so I can't unsee it. I almost don't want people to see it the way I see it, of just it's everywhere kind of thing. So that's a big passion of mine, of getting into that and fighting that with cybersecurity and finding those kind of things and like seeing that. Like there's a lot of groups out there that do that, and that's kind of, if I ever did say, you know, stop or say get fired from the corporate world, I would just, that's what I would do, go into something like that, go into a nonprofit like that, or start my own of working through people like that. So yeah, 10 years, that's what it seems like, I think. That's where I could see it. That'll change so much, so, you
know. Of course it will.
2 years from now.
This is more of just a for fun.
Yeah, no, kind of for fun.
Question, you know?
Fun, that would be it.
I think it's fun to like think in abundance kind of way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we get into a scarcity mindset, survival mindset. What's the practicality of our day-to-day? Yeah.
But we talk a lot about the scarcity mindset here and how we trying to inverse that or reverse that, of just there's, if you work with community, collaborate, it's going to be there. Like you said, kind of, I think you mentioned kind of like the money is always, if you're doing something that you know brings fulfillment and helps other people, like the money will come or it won't. And does that matter? You know, you definitely want to make it sustainable and build wealth and do those kind of things, be business minded and stuff. But I just more and more I see money as a tool to do the things that are valued in life. And now it's made a big difference for me, of just, you can be more risky when it's like that. You cannot think as much about that money, and you can tell stories better. Instead of having to tell the story of the money, you tell the story that wants, that people want to bring money to, and build those kind of things. But yeah, that was a lot. But
it's super powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just helps it, also when you come close to dying a couple of times, and then you're just like,
That'll do it.
You think so much about money, and you're like, you know, I could have died yesterday. So like, does money really matter?
Put things into perspective. Like, yeah.
It's like, what would I have done with all that money when I don't, you know, it's a different kind of thing. So
yeah, we've covered so many different topics.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to share?
Well, I mean, there are probably a lot of topics we haven't covered, but I don't know. I feel like we've covered a lot.
I think this was a super powerful episode.
It was. And it was a lot of fun diving into all the different
just the
areas,
way that it flowed,
really,
right?
Got to like kind of...
It's the magic of the mic.
Yeah, it is. The magic of the mic.
There's no way to prep for this. I think a lot of people listen to this and think that I have like prepped for it.
Yeah.
I sure don't.
And you ask, like, is there any topics? Like if we had another 2 hours, 2 days from now, we could talk for another 2 hours. You know?
Right.
So I think I'll leave it at that. Like, I think you covered the topics that we should talk about on this podcast.
What was meant to be said.
And if we need to say more, we'll say more. You know?
100%.
That's awesome.
Love that.
That's best time. So
I have this tradition.
Okay.
At the end of my podcast, I always ask my guests, and this whole podcast was always based on this Hebrew quote, which is Eze Chacham Halamei Mikol Adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. which is very on par with everything we've been saying. And we've learned a lot from you. But if you can leave us with one last life lesson or favorite quote.
I have a lot of those, but I kind of actually, a similar question was asked on a previous podcast I did, and I loved how we came to this answer. And it's kind of just one word, but kind of like it encapsulates a lot, and it's fall.
Mm.
Like, fall. It's okay. You can fall down, and most often you're going to learn a lot more. So like that, I kind of tell, I put a lot more into it when I tell like my team and like when software, it's like fail often to succeed sooner.
And fall forward.
And fall forward. You're always, as long as you're falling forward, and usually that's a good key to that of if you fall trying. If you kind of fall trying to get away and fall back, like you don't gain anything.
Because you're shying away from that. Mindset, yeah,
scarcity fear. Mindset, all those things. So it's like fall forward. I'll change it now. I'm going to change it now. Fall forward.
Okay.
There you go. Of as long as you're moving forward, if you fall, like you are going up the mountain. You know, like if you're running and you fall and you trip, at least you're going forward. But you know, if you're trying to go backwards. But yeah, it's like it's okay. Like you don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to have it all done up and in a pretty bow. Like,
I don't think falling has to be something we're afraid of either. You're exactly. gonna learn. You, I heard the Alex Hormozi said this. You learn nothing from success, but everything from failure.
Alex Hormozi has so many.
So many.
If you read his book,
mm-hmm.
Should it's on audio. But like me and my girlfriend were listening to it on audio in the car, and I'm like, we can't do it. We have to get the books because there's too much I want to like. I want to highlight all this stuff.
I just finished The Mountain Is You, and it was on audio, and it was so good. But like, I'm like, it's one of those books that I need the physical copy for sure.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, if you ever get to talk with him on Pi, that'd be nice. You know, so it's funny.
Yeah. Well, this was so great. So how can we support you?
I mean, you're doing it. Just talking, being around here, being in the space, and being around the community, and. You're doing it all. You're collabing with everybody here. You're collabing with other people in the community. I don't like to, collabing and just getting people to come and check it out here, as well as understanding where they are and if there's some place like this there. Like we're not, I think that's the biggest thing that we try to propose is like, we're not trying to take all the, we don't want all the highlight. We want everybody to have. There's a bunch of CrossFit gyms in St. Louis. Go try them out. There's a bunch of, Pilates studios, there's a bunch of coffee shops in St. Louis, there's a bunch of everything. So you're doing it, you're honestly doing everything you can to help us out and what our mission is of just being here, collabing with people, talking with people, seeing what they are. You're all around the farmers markets all over the place, and you helped with Ruckin Coffee, you sponsored them. So just being around, it's awesome. Like you're doing it already, but if you want a shout out to the Fit Fest that's coming up in September 6th for the gym. So we were really happy to have that last year. Kind of came together. We threw that together like crazy, but it was awesome to see all the different communities come. It was all just it's a big health and wellness day.
Mm.
And like everybody got to different aspects. And I think that was another thing. We're not scared to bring other people in. There was other gyms. There was other avenues of fitness, avenues of health, all the vendors.
Collaboration over competition any day.
100%. We just want to, it was a free event. Like, just come and the community just come and check it out. And it was just fantastic. So, we're going to have that again this year. And we're like super excited for it. It's going to be so much fun. So,
Well, this was so great. I could talk to you for hours. Is going to continue more off and on camera. We'll probably do another episode down the line.
We'll drink more coffee.
Yeah, for sure. Always drink more coffee. That's the answer.
There we go.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's awesome. I love it. So anytime.
Well, guys, this was another amazing episode. This was so much fun for me. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. And if you're not currently watching, the video is actually on Spotify and YouTube. And if you're not already following me, what are you doing with your life? Please go follow me specifically on YouTube. And if this episode is meaningful for you, please share it with a friend. Thank you guys so much for listening or watching. I hope you have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go. Oh,